calls me into order, and people will come in. As they come in, I want to let you know some good news. Sort of good news. The DA will not be here today. She and her department have other things that they have to do, and that will mean we will add her on to a later date. One of the things that Kevin and I and Joe reviewed yesterday's meeting in process, and one of the things that came to my mind was that the presentations are short, and what we would like to do, what I would like to do, is have individual legislators hold their questions till the end of the slideshow. So that would mean you might need to write on a piece of paper what the questions are, and then we'll take questions at the end. One of the departments yesterday, I thought, stretched out a bit long because they were not allowed to finish, and it broke up their harmony, I think. So let's try to ask the questions at the end of the very short slideshow. We'll begin today with Finance Department, David Squires, and he is right here. Brian.
Not for David, but for these.
Yes. Excuse me.
Can we go through those?
We'll back off. David, Joe is going to go through that right now.
Okay.
That sheet. Sorry. I totally forgot that. Sorry, David.
Yeah, in response to kind of the back and forth yesterday, the idea was, can we give you a consolidated summary of the OTRs or some indication of whether they're funded or not under both levels of this budget? The best thing can give you is what we've used to kind of keep track of these ourselves, which is what you have in front of you. So I think we've got all of the OTRs that are in the book. Anything in green means it's funded, and you can see whether it's funded under the 2.9 or the 5.4. Anything in blue is funded with one-time money. Anything in the cross hatches, you see green and white, means that it's partially funded. Sometimes you'll see a cross hatch in the 2.9, and then it goes green in the 5.4. It means what it implies: partial funding at the lower level, full funding at the higher level, and red just means it's not funded. Key to this, you can see here, if you want to cross index, if you want to look at the detailed OTR for any of these, they're all in the book. So for the first one, you look under Section B, page 1. When you see that letter B, you also should know that means it's within cap. It's under the cap, because those, remember, are in the appendix. Anything with a numerical section number means it's a part of the higher recommended budget. Except, if you will, the short description is my shorthand. You really want to go to what the OTR says the program is when you want to look at the details. But again, this is the way we kept track of the OTRs. It's shorthand. I think it gives you a real good, quick overview of what's in, what's out. That's the goal.
Can I just ask a couple real quickies?
Brian, then Carol.
So if you were... Let's say you were the conservative type, which I don't think we have any, but at any rate, and you wanted to keep track of everything that we funded above cap.
Yep.
In green is actually what we would be, or they, whatever, would be looking at between the two. Correct.
Right. Green affects the tax levy.
Okay.
That's the piece that will.
Well, so the green ones under that have a number
that
attached, attached to it, yeah. Under 5.4
column. Yes.
Okay. And my second one is of the one-time money.
Yep.
The blues, especially over in the 2.9 column.
Yep.
Is there any way for us to know if that was their own rollover or some other funding source?
Yeah, go to that page. It's very descriptive on that page. Right, it'll tell you if it's rollover. Will it also say if it's one-time money?
Yeah, so yeah. You'll see in the budget book, you'll see a column that'll have rollover, and the net local will be zero. In this, you'll also notice in the short description, a lot of the times where rollover was used to fund it, it says that. Requested as rollover or rollover used.
All right. Thanks.
Carol, Martha.
Some of my questions got answered. The places where it's different from under the cap and recommended.
When it goes from red to green, okay. You mean?
Yeah. When so it goes from like here under animal control, the first one there is red.
First one there is green.
But no, the second line where it's red, and the number 2,602.
That's just to show you how much was there.
But it's not.
But
red is not recommended.
Yeah. Right.
And the 50,000, a few lines down, is
restored.
Restored, but only under the 5.4%, not the 2.9%.
Correct.
And the, tell us again what the hatch is.
Partial funding. So
partial.
They asked for example, 200,000, and we were able to give them 100, so that would be.
There is a key up at the top, Carol.
What?
There is a key up at the top of the document. Green, blue, cross hatch.
Oh, but it doesn't have colors. Okay, thank
okay.
you.
Yes.
Martha.
You're gonna really figure out by the end of this how to communicate with nonverbal people. the numbers indicate how much money is put into that line.
Yes.
So the hatched amount where there's a number that's like how much of that amount was funded. Okay. Thank you.
Joe, let me make a broad statement. If the budget were approved at 5.4 today, everything in the green line would be covered, and everything in the cap line would be covered.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and Jim, it actually goes beyond. So it's everything in green.
Right.
And in blue.
In blue. Okay. Any other questions about the document? Thank you, David. Take two.
I'm happy to be here to perform before you today to represent one of the most important county departments. If you look at the screen, you'll see that we have a modest budget of $1.1 million. Of that $1.1 million, I would have to say you'd have to understand that it's mostly personnel. In fact, 85% of the budget is salary and fringes. 10% of the budget is professional services contracts. And the 5% is just other minor things. So in the challenge we were given when our budget guidelines came out, in order to meet the budget target established, we had to reduce our budget by $80,000, which represented essentially eliminating one of 11 positions. My office is structured so that I couldn't in good conscience eliminate any position because the functions in the office are minimally staffed as it is. I have 1.5 FTEs dedicated to payroll. I have one FTE dedicated to purchasing, one FTE dedicated to accounts payable, and 2.5 dedicated to treasury operations and myself. The only way we could meet our target was by reducing staffing hours of service across the board. In our OTRs, in order to recover the shortfall, we're centrally building back up from cutting salary, the basic staffing down from 37.5, in addition to another $45,000 of unspecified salary reductions. So what the budget, and the county administrator, of course, had sympathy for our plight, and recommended that all our OTRs be funded. Though it was $80,000, we are addressing part of the $80,000 by using rollover and by, this is very important because we have in here an increase in a fee. The tax search fee presently is $25, and the budget presumes we would increase it to $30, equal to what the city of Ithaca charges. Based upon average real estate activity over the last couple of years, we believe this would offset $12,900 of the salary shortfall we had. The budget didn't allow us to request any equipment at all, so we used our accumulated rollover and are asking that it be approved to purchase computers and a new phone, the new latest and greatest voice over internet protocol phone system, and also upgrade our tax collection system. The one thing I want to point out is that we generate about 30% of our budget is supported by internal revenues. 75% of that comes from tax item charges for people who are not current on their taxes. They're charges that are added at various stages along tax enforcement. We have about $90,000 of money that's transferred from other departments. We get support from the room tax, from solid waste, and we have one half of a position that supports the consortium. They pay for one half of a position. So while I have 11 positions, one half of a position in payroll, two bodies, one half of time is spent working on keeping the records for the consortium. Now, the total county cost, that county cost for the department is about $700,000. I can point out, if you look at page 2 of the unallocated revenues, there are two line items in there that our office produces the income for those line items. Interest and penalties on taxes and gain from sale of tax-acquired properties. Those two items fully cover the county costs for our operations, and I can honestly say that we are responsible for every penny of that from our actions of the tax enforcement procedures that we're responsible for. Unlike other unallocated revenues, which come into the county and we have the stewardship responsibility for, but we really don't. We can't say we're responsible for the interest earnings income because we can't control our cash flow. We can handle manage it, but I wouldn't take credit for that. But these we are directly. So you could say that we're sort of an enterprise activity, and we have consistently been, if you look at giving us credit for those kinds of earnings. And this reiterates what we had to do in order to get back to bring the budget in. $12,000 of revenue is proposed for the tax search fee increase. $22,550 takes our rollover and applies it to equipment which was not put in the budget because of the limitations of funding. And I'll welcome any questions.
Will, Peter.
What is the tax search fee?
What is what?
What is the tax
search fee? Tax search fee. Yes. When a financial institution is doing a mortgage, they search the records to see that they can have a clear title, and real estate liens are a primary lien against the property. So they come to the county, and because we're the tax-enforcing entity for most municipalities, we give them evidence of whether there's any tax liens existing on a parcel.
Peter, and then Martha.
I have a couple of general comments and then a question. So the comment first, I was interested in this concept of increasing fees and that a department can somehow use the fees that it generates to offset a loss of people. And I wondered if that really makes sense. I'm all for increasing the fees as to whatever levels are reasonable. I have no idea how you decide that, but I would do it in the usual way we do things, by comparing to other entities and seeing what they charge to do that. But let's suppose that you discovered that that actually the prevailing charge for tax searches is $50, not $35, and you increased it to $50. Then the question I have is there any reason why that additional $15 should stay in your department? There are certain departments, certain programs we have, like aiding children who have been abused, that don't generate any revenue, which is by their nature can't. So it seems to me that the kind of additional revenue that's generated by a particular department ought to be go into some general fund to be dispensed rather than stay in a department. So that's the comment I have to make.
It sounds like a question to me.
Well, shouldn't I? Guess I could turn it into a question.
Well, I thought you did, because you said, couldn't this money be used for something else?
Good point. Okay, it was a question.
Okay. David, do you want to take a shot at that?
Well, it's traditionally general. I mean, the way the state sets up accounting for income is by type of activity, and fees, like fees for tax collection are itemized in a certain way, a certain code number universally throughout the state. And to have true accountability, you should match the income to the function. While we, for example, some counties take, like to say, the income from tax enforcement and apply it to the treasurer's office. We don't. We have contributed $750,000 to general operations that's not going to the finance department that we are earning. So I think we've paid our share, fair share of the budget, even over and above the fees we do get directly from the items that we handle directly in our office.
Joe.
If I can just expand on that, Peter, and Kevin promised me a quarter if I could use this word in a sentence. There's fungibility.
Ah, good word.
Here. So if, for example...
It has to do with eating mushrooms, I think, but go ahead.
That's exactly right. For example, if David proposed increasing this specific fee, even though that fee appears in his budget as a revenue and it went up, if this legislature said, we're not going to let you raise your expenses, but we're going to let you raise those revenues, that savings drops to the bottom line of his local budget. And it really saves the entire county money. So either that savings would be reflected in the form of a property tax reduction, or that savings can then be used to pay for something else in another department. So that's the fungibility part of this.
I had a second question. Can I ask
another? I know that. Go ahead.
Second question was, suppose that you didn't have the generosity of the county administrator and you weren't able to increase the income you had, and you had to stick with the original cutting down of hours of the department. Can you just say a few general words about what that would mean? How would that affect what you do? How would it affect the county?
Well, the general expectation would be the work would get done in a less timely fashion. We have certain deadlines we have to respond to. For example, we have to file a financial report by a certain time of the year. The state requires it 5 months after the, 4 months after the start, the end of the year, you have to do your financial report. If you don't do it, you're chastised, and federal government requires you to submit a report by September 30th. If you don't submit it by then, they can put you on a risk assessment level, which will cost you more money in future audits. It could cause vendors getting paid less timely, which could then drive up their bids to the county for doing work with the for doing work for the county, because they have to wait longer to get paid. But that's the essential thing. Work would pile up to a less than ideal level. to what extent, you know, the things that get priority are getting employees and vendors paid or a high priority, and making sure that we don't lose any of our assets by not keeping track of them. That's the real vulnerability. If you don't reconcile your bank account, then by the time you find out that something's wrong, you're out a lot of money.
Okay, thank you.
Martha.
David, I have a couple of questions. This tax search fee, when was the last time it was increased?
10 years ago. It went from, I think we increased it 10 years ago from 15 to 25. And I think at that time, it was also, we went to be equal to city. And I would say that this, we're 25 now. There are counties that are at $10. There are counties that are $50. There are Long Island, $100. I would say it's a very profitable charge for the county, the tax search fee, and as Mike Lane will, I'm sure, comment on.
Martha?
Yeah.
And then Mike.
We have fees in lots of departments, the health department, mental health, and those fees stay in those departments. They're sort of, and they're meant to, I know we've had many discussions where we have to, we can't just arbitrarily raise it beyond what's the reasonable cost for providing the service. So it seems after 10 years it's a reasonable thing to raise it, but it's not, it really shouldn't be just to pump money into the general fund, as I understand the way we're supposed to handle fees for particular services. A question about on OTR page, OTR priority 3, that's OTR number 31, the 40 hours for the finance director, that's appendix B, page 23. This is the money to put, it appears to increase, David, your salary back to 40
hours?
What I
did was I tried to make it to as least onerous on staff, because it's this $80 bogey that I had to come up with. And so 37 and a half, everybody, you know, in the first OTR, we could have funded everybody at 37 and a half when we added in the tax search fee, except myself. And so I just thought that was the more reasonable thing to do without alerting the staff that, well, one FTE's got to go.
So this OTR replaces the salary.
But what's recommended fully funds my salary.
Okay. Can I ask, then, the description here says the director is amenable to reduction in the budgeted salary concurrent with filing for New York State retirement at age 65.
What was an alternative was, and it was has been done before, as you recall, with the personnel director. At age 65, there is no income limitation for retirement. In 2012, I'll be 65. So I could file for retirement and collect my retirement benefit and continue to work without a limitation on the salary. That was a cost saver for the county because it would, in future years, it would reduce the county's retirement contribution because there's no longer a salary being reported.
Okay,
but
so
that's the amount that needed to be removed from that couldn't be funded from the budget, $44,000, which represented cutting my salary by 37%.
So I'm unclear, Joe. Does this, by putting money into this, mean that that's what we're doing?
No, the recommended budget funds the that OTR. So that doesn't have to go to the alternative.
I see. Okay. And just another question. If you have any idea, I know Joe has said, for example, our IT department is much smaller than comparable counties. Do you have any idea other counties have? Do they have 11 FTEs for a similar-sized budget? Or
we're on the there's very few operations that are exactly like ours because, for example, in Tioga County, they have a treasurer's office, and they don't have all the functions. They don't handle payroll. Cortland County doesn't handle payroll. They just handle tax enforcement. They don't handle purchasing. So we do it all. So Cortland County's treasurer's office, I think, is about 4 or 5 people now with their – and the treasurer's retiring because they cut him back so much that he didn't want to be responsible for being responsible with that limited staff. But it depends on what activities you have, and we have accounting, payroll, accounts payable, purchasing, and treasury.
Okay, thank you.
Mike.
The charge we have for tax searches is exorbitant, particularly since it's been computerized and it's less work than it used to be when it would charge a dollar for them. But as I recall, David, about 10 years ago when it was raised to $25, the purpose there was to support a staff person who did that, and there's, I'm certain, lots of times in your office, correct me if I'm wrong, when they have to spend a lot of time generating these tax searches for not only financial institutions, but for every transaction that goes on there. And they also have to look up the unpaid taxes and calculate them for people. Sometimes I wish there were ways that associated parcels might be charged at a lower rate than the full $25. If I have, a 2-foot strip along my backyard and I'm selling the house, I've got to buy 2 tax searches and pay $50 for that. But I understand the reason. Let's face it, it's a pure revenue source for us, and if that's what we want to look for to support a position, going to $30 I don't think is outside the realm of what we have in the local area here at this time.
Any other questions for David? Mark?
Thank you. David, I remember, it seems like a year or so ago, and I'm not sure if I was talking to you or Joe, there was a question of new finance software, like the payroll software. Do you have any ideas about that? I don't see anything here.
Well, when we did the payroll, we got pricing from the vendor that supplied the HR system, and we had a certain window of opportunity for a very attractive price, and that window has closed. But we did look at the system, and it really there was not an overwhelming appetite. One, and the software really provided anything unique that we didn't already have, and two, the appetite with the limited staff we have to go through another conversion right after the rather long and painful conversion of payroll. But we are looking at the current vendor is pushing everybody to a new version. And I think this week they're doing a webinar, and they have attractive. What they do is they move you to the new version at a very modest cost, but then they get you on the back end by raising the licensing fee that you pay every year. But we're looking at that as a solution to because we're really satisfied with our current system. We thought maybe the payroll system would be fully integrated with the accounting system if we got this other product, but we're managing without the total integration.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for David? Thank you very much, David. Cooperative Extension. Ken Schlatter's in the back of the room. You all have on your desk the printout of the slideshow. Thank you, David.
Thank you. Hi, my name is Ken Schlatter. I'm with the Executive Director at Cornell Cooperative Extension. I just passed out, and if you, it's actually, if you look at the first page, is the page with the map. This is what duly has hopefully become a tradition to pass out this table of our sort of impact, which is something that I did the first year I came here, and it's been coming out every year since. So the first page is the page with the map, which is essentially it's the coverage a student 5 years ago or 4 years ago did coverage of some of our programming in the county with using GIS, and it's not gone down. The number of locations has actually increased, but that's the location of our programming across the county, including some there in the lake. Those are some of the best ones, actually. The second page is the introduction to the table, which explains basically what this table is. And essentially, and then moving on to the table is actually divided up into sort of four main sections. Five, I guess, really. The titles are there on the in the orange column. Then there's we really talk in our association, we talk about contributing value to the county in three ways. Savings to the county government budget, either through actual savings to the budget or generating of tax revenues. So those are impacts on the county budget. There's the positive impact on the county economy, in particular areas like energy, agriculture, forestry, tourism, a few other areas like that. Then there's the value that we contribute to the quality of life, which essentially is, over time, some of those things in that column get moved over into the contribution to the economy. Very often it's because we can't measure them, so we call them quality of life issues. And then we also talk about how people vote with their feet, that the value of our programming is very much demonstrated by the number of people who participate in the programs or who are volunteers in the programs or who contribute in kind to those programs or who are partners with us. And so this table basically captures much of what the organization's about in numbers. And there's a number of footnotes throughout this, and the footnotes are basically color-coded with the pages behind. So the green page has the footnotes in the green columns, and the blue page has the footnotes for the blue columns, and so on. I'm not going to spend any more time with this except to say that Mike Kaplinkalera was just saying, you know, have fun, and I said, I will. He says, and I get to have fun because it's pretty remarkable, actually, when you think of the number of people who are actually touched by, and I can say this because I don't do it, right? The staff do a tremendous job of reaching out to literally thousands, and this year, you know, the number is over 73,000, and nearly 2,000 volunteers in the volunteer with the association for a total of about 60,000 hours. So it's, if I wanted a demonstration that people in the county are interested in what we're doing, it's this table for me always captures it. So it was a fun weekend. Lots of numbers. So this is our budget for 2012. Excuse me. It's down by 38,000, 5.6%. These are the over target requests that were supported by the property tax cap. The first one, which is the one that all of us were asked, will be restoring 1 to 2 positions that we would have lost if that wasn't put in there. We have 25,000. The next three are basically all one time, and they're the 25,000 is for reorganization efforts. We're essentially recognizing that times are changing. We're looking at how we can change some of our staffing structure to be supported not only through, I mean, the way our current staffing structure works at the senior staff level of programming is senior staff their salaries have been covered through the county appropriation and other revenues that we that constitute our core budget. In the future, we might be reducing the percentage. In other words, 100% of FTE of any staff senior staff salary is covered under that program. We may be adjusting that. That $25,000 is actually to help, and that $15,000 in item number or the 013 are basically being used to help us generate some additional revenue streams that would support over time would support our staff. Aside from the county appropriation money. Does that make sense to people? And then the $2,500 is for the Ag District Review. I shared this last year, this slide with you last year, and I thought, obviously I only shared the 2003 and the 2010 column last year, but I wanted to give you some sense of the efficiency of our operations. Last year, we had been working at the state level on a number of rankings of different departments and different efforts. And last year, we were in the top three in terms of finance. And this is based on the number of transactions. So again, we're looking at efficiency, right? So the number of transactions per FTE. And this year, we're at number one in the state among the associations. And now the same for HR. Our program to staff ratio, I thought, our program staff to admin staff ratio last year, I thought, was probably about where we would be able to take it, and we continue to squeeze a little bit more out of the admin staff this year. This is another column that I added. It's in 2003, our leveraging of county dollars was 1 to 3.3. So for every dollar you gave us, we were generating an additional $3.3. And this year, 2011, it looks like it's about 1 to 7. Add in the volunteer, the value of the volunteer labor, which is over $1.3 million, and it's now about 1 to 9 if you add in the volunteer labor piece. So we've been, you know, working hard to squeeze every ounce out of all of our staff, including me. I mentioned to one of the staff this morning that there had been concern about the directors at some of the agent departments vacuuming, and one of the staff said, well, in fact, actually, there is that picture of you shoveling the the parking lot. So we know we didn't make that picture this morning. Photoshop, it's a wonderful thing. No, it's not. It's actually real. We abandoned the snow clearing effort last year to save a couple thousand bucks, and I got to do the work instead. So, but anyway, what we project with the property tax cap, our agency, we still are looking at the potential loss of one program leader position out of the six. We've seen county reductions in the last 4 years of 62. That's resulted in formula funds from the state of another 35 to 40. We had expected originally we'd be running a, we would have been able to address this coming year. I mean, our expectation is that through these reorganization efforts and our ability to generate other revenues, that we would have been able to address the reduction. We knew there was a reduction coming this year, and we thought we'd be able to address it. But we also got hit by this $150,000 rescission by the feds this year, which has basically wiped out any surplus we thought we might have had this year in 2011. So it's possible we're looking at an $80,000 gap next year, even with the OTRs that have been included, and we're not sure yet how we'll address that.
And there are no OTRs, right?
Oh, sorry, yeah, no, none. Correct.
Okay. Any questions for Ken, Brian?
Again, and maybe I'm looking at in the wrong spot. I'm looking for the one-time money funding source. Is that in B, in Appendix B?
It'll be in B because it is within the cap. The source of the one-time money, Brian, are reserves. So it would be a draw on the county's reserves. That's how we would pay for those one-time items.
Any other questions? Mike, Martha, Will, Julie.
Looking at the reduction of county contributions from 09 to 12, you said $62,000. How does that compare with other counties? And I assume this is the direct contribution as opposed to the various contractual contributions that we have through social services and other departments. And how much, how have those changed?
I can't directly address the other counties. I mean, I think we probably are, if I had to guess, I would say we're probably sort of in the middle. There are some who have actually not. In fact, there are some whose revenues have increased, but those are very few. In terms of appropriations, county appropriations have increased. Most have gone down. Again, it's really hard to say. Percentage-wise, I would say we're probably within the realm of average. And then the other question was?
I wondered about the county contracts with CCE.
Yeah. Those, well, last year the youth services went down by the 125 approximately that was cut from municipal youth services last year, and the COPS funding is going to result in some reduction there as well. Numbers are down, but again, numbers are down for everybody.
Martha?
In section 4, page 8, it shows your total budget. It goes back to not just 2011, but 2010 and 2009. And just a comment, in 2009, your allocation was more, it was close to $710,000. So even with the OTRs recommended, you're down, $67,000.
$62,000, basically. Yeah.
Oh, you got it. All right. I don't know how much more we can squeeze out of you. I think I appreciate all the information. Thank you.
Will.
Thanks,
Mom.
Thanks, Jim. This $25,000 for essentially program for organizational redevelopment, is that described somewhere? Or is this a grant writer, or you mentioned talking about new sources of revenue and whatever?
No, well, so the essentially what we're doing is a significant increase in the fee for service area. We've been looking at revenue streams that where people are willing to pay for fee for service, and so for example, this year in the area in the last really 4 or 5 years with Primitive Pursuits, which is a program of ours, their revenue has gone up considerably. So even, you could pretty much mirror the decrease in terms of municipal youth service money and the increase in Primitive Pursuits fee for service. So, and as we looked at that, we began to understand what was actually going on with that. And I don't want to really go into the details here, but we've begun to use that same sort of an approach to think about other areas of our work where there would be an ability for people to pay for some of those services. And that would then be used to drive services that for people who can't pay for it. So one particular example in this case is financial management education for college students. There appears to be a substantial market there for that, which would allow us then to cover the costs of some staff who could then basically work on the financial management for low-income folks, which is what we've historically done on the financial management side.
So I understand the goal. The $25,000 is buying staff time.
Buying staff time to help to get that, to organize that, get that in place, market it, develop that stream.
Well, it's Appendix B, page 8.
Thank you very much, Ken.
Dooley. I'm sorry, are you done?
Yes,
are you finished?
Thank you.
Okay, Dooley and then Frank.
When you began to talk about your colored page handout, you said, I like it. I do. It's not the map I like. It's the whole packet. And I think it would be lovely to see this kind of analysis for many of our programs that our departments give, but we're not there yet. So I really think this is a wonderful model for how a department head could analyze what they're doing for the county and the residents. My question has more to do with I don't understand the relationship between a county cut and how it's magnified by state formula cuts. Could you make that a little clearer for me, please?
Yeah. So the cooperative extension at the county level is essentially the facility for it to be funded by the county comes from a state law called State Law 224, which also has, which essentially boiled down says every county in the state can have a cooperative extension association under two conditions. One is that the county government put money into the association, and the second is that the association and the county sign a memorandum of agreement with Cornell University. That's done every year. And the law says, and if you do that, there is state money will also be put into the system, into each association through a formula. And so when our funds go down at the county level, the funds at the state level are also taken, also go down.
The formula is not simple then? You can't just...
Yeah, it's not
okay.
A...
That's what I wanted to understand. Yeah. All right.
If I knew it, I'd put it in... Actually, I know it's not very simple because I haven't figured it out yet. Frank.
Ken, section four, pardon me, page 18, the Way to Go program. It indicates that the expenditures are $82,000, the revenues are $74,000, and the net local is $8,000. Is that some of this, if not all of this funding, comes through the category? I think it's the 1132 grants through the feds, or the 1157 grants from TCAT, or part of it is associated with TCAT. Is the whole $74,000 from them, and is the net local, the difference of $8,000, is that also from those grants?
No. No, the net local is what our association puts into. So it's really the supervision and some of the, so basically staff time that we put in from our association into this grant.
Are there, at one point there were talks with the 211 program about combining some services or buddying up to do some, for some efficiencies and whatnot. Do you know if that's still going on?
I don't know the answer to that. I can check and get that back to you.
Okay, thanks.
Any other questions for Ken? Thanks very much, Ken.
Thank you.
excuse me. Next on the agenda is COFA, and I see the director is here.
I drew the short straw this year and had to follow cooperative extension, which is always a tough act to follow, but I'll try to endear myself to you by being brief. So let's see. Let's start off this year. This is the recommended budget for the Office for the Aging, which shows a 2.9% reduction in local share. This year, the the what appeared to be at first steep cuts were somewhat mitigated in our department by increases in revenue. One isn't a net increase for the county, but a net increase for our department. There were about $47,000 in state New York Connects funds that are coming into our budget this year instead of the DSS budget, so that helped us. Also, we're expecting some increases in our PERS revenue, Personal Emergency Response System, because of our increased numbers of clients, and that's a revenue-generating program through client fees and some grants that we're participating in. So that's that slide. The number of full-time equivalents for our department in 2011 was 10.63. Under the property tax cap, it would bring us to 10.48, and then under the county administrator's recommended budget would bring us back up to 10.63. Let's see. And then what the property tax cap does support, under the OTR number one, it would restore the cuts to the FoodNet Nutrition program, the ICEP program, and it would partially restore a staffing cut at the Office for the Aging. So that's that was OTR number one. And then the remaining three OTRs are one-time expenses funded through departmental rollover. Most notably, we plan to conduct another countywide senior needs assessment in 2012, and we would support that through the use of rollover. So at the property tax cap, it allows for only partial restoration of a seasonal outreach worker for the HEAP program. It would bring that up to 12 hours a week. In 2011, this position was funded at 20 hours a week. So that leads us to this slide here. The over-target request above the property tax cap was labeled as priority number two. $6,559 would fully restore the part-time seasonal outreach worker for the HEAP program, bringing that back up to 20 hours a week. So all pretty straightforward. However, there's one additional kind of late-breaking concern that this came up after submission of our county budget request. We learned recently. Well, on the federal level, there's a 50% cut in the Home Energy Assistance Program, which is going to be felt by HEAP recipients this year. They're expecting that only about 60% of people that were served by the HEAP program in 2011 will be served this year. And it's because of this reduction in the federal funding on the state level, New York State OTDA is proposing the elimination of funding for the WRAP program, which is paid out of this federal HEAP money. So all of the WRAP funding for all offices for the aging across the state is proposed to be eliminated under their plan.
And could you remind us what HEAP and WRAP mean?
Excuse me, Peter. Sure. Wait till she finishes, please.
Okay. And that's an easy Home Energy Assistance Program, and then WRAP is Weatherization Referral and Packaging Program. They're interrelated, and I'm sorry that I didn't spell it out on spell the acronym out there. So in an effort to shore up the limited HEAP dollars on the federal level, they're proposing the elimination of the WRAP funds. This would mean in a cut to the Office for the Aging of $26,846, effective as of April of 2012. We use this funding to support a staff person to coordinate weatherization and home repairs, and this has been a very robust and successful program. Last year, that amount of funding leveraged $272,000 in other funding to complete needed home repairs for low-income seniors in the county. Another concern about this is it makes it even more tricky because through this funding and through this position, we have committed ourselves through next year for a falls prevention program, and we have put in an application for restore funds for home emergency home repairs for low-income seniors. We're still waiting to hear if we get that, but if we get it, we will be expected to administer the program. So my proposal is, in the event, the likely event that this funding is cut, to apply departmental rollover in 2012 to fulfill our grant requirements, to get us through the calendar year, and to restructure if necessary. So, and I believe, even though this was late in coming, it was still recommended by the county administrator. So.
Now, Peter.
Do I understand it right that this $27,000 of RAP money is to administer a much larger program in actual expenditures? And you said it leverages 200 and something, yes? And that money comes from who?
Well, that money comes from a patchwork of other funders, and not necessarily all through our department. But, for instance, Division of Homes and Community Renewal on the state level, there's the RESTORE program, so funding comes through there.
So it's government programs.
Yes, government programs and grant programs like Sheen Housing, USDA Rural Development.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Brian.
So I can try to consistently follow this. In Appendix B, we have your priorities 1, 3, 4, and 5. Two, which is actually OTR 98, was not funded, but was funded under the 5-4.
Yes.
Where is that?
That will be in the department's component within Section 3. So that was above the cap. All these other ones were below the cap in Appendix B, and because OTR Priority 2 was another a hit on the tax levy, that was recommended above the cap.
Okay. Okay. So just when I'm looking at this, if we have red followed by green,
you'll find it in the department's.
All the rest of them are going to be in B.
You got it. And also another note is in Appendix B on page 14 or 15. You'll see it says one time, and the other one says a negative one time, and that's the use of rollover. And so the net local is zero. So if you look at Priority 4, OTR number 20,
yep,
on page B15,
yep,
you
it.
See zero. Or it's a zero net local. It's mm-hmm. because it's using rollover. Mm-hmm. And this is an example where the county administrator used a lot of where departments were requesting to use rollover, and he was okay with one-time use of rollover. He put those under the 2.92 because it really doesn't have an effect on the property tax levy.
Okay. I just wanted to know where to go because, for me, I want an explanation as to or try to figure out why the county administrator didn't fund it to begin with but did there. And it's not in the same place, but now I know where it is. So,
Peter?
Once again, is this priority 2 thing that's on the display, is that also something that to administer money that's coming from someplace else? Or
Yes, this is to administer the Home Energy Assistance Program.
So, but there's actual solid money to pay for heating bills that comes from
yes.
some other program. So, if suppose we never did, suppose we followed the recommendation and eliminate it, does that mean that there are people in Tompkins County who would not get certain money for their home heating needs in the winter times?
Well, it would mean, yeah, we would hope not. However, we have one staff person who is administering, and by the end of the season, we will have enrolled over 1,000 people. So this is a second, and there are certain timelines by which we have to take the applications in, process them, and get them back to DSS in time. So there, it really requires more than one person to get the job done.
Do you ever do overtime?
No.
I mean, if you don't, suppose you just don't have enough people to process the, or the number of applications increase beyond what you expected. So how do you accommodate to that?
Well, the addition of this position helped.
But in general.
I mean, we have a very dedicated staff, and they do tend to stay and get the job done. We don't pay overtime. They do comp time. But it is taking its toll, and the demand is increasing. So I don't know. We're stretched with this program in particular.
I have Will and I have Mike.
So, Lisa, I'm worried about what you tell us for the decrease in Heath. What happens to the 40% that are no longer covered? Do we have ability at the local or state level to?
We were in a discussion yesterday at the Health Planning Council Board, and Patricia, myself, and Frank were presenting, and she talked about another source of funding where people would be referred through DSS. I'm sorry, I don't remember the name of it, but we do expect to be referring people for, you know, these other emergency services, because we won't be able to service many people, and those whom we do serve, the benefits will be lower, and they are they're condensing the heating season this year, and then the eligibility for emergency benefits, people won't become eligible until January, whereas usually if you have a shutoff after your regular benefit, you're eligible for an emergency benefit. So a lot's changing with this program, and we expect to see higher needs expressed as a result.
Thank you.
Mike?
On Heath, staying on that, do we usually have enough money to run through the season, or do we run out? Do we have more applications? And if so, what do these people do if they run out?
So the money is administered on the federal and state level, so we keep administering the programs until they tell us on those higher levels that the money has run out. And I think, for instance, last year we were still operating the program, if I'm not mistaken, into May. The funds hadn't run out. And they're expecting this year that they put a time limit up. They think that they will expend the funds by March, I believe. And that's another difference that they're expecting this year.
And these seasonal workers, would they be done at that point?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's one seasonal worker.
I guess we should be glad for climate change then. It's going to get warmer. So one of the leverage opportunities, I think, for example, the Dryden Town Board is not a large but a small amount of money that they put into energy efficiency projects, and they really like to partner with you guys because they can do some of it, and you put some of the wrap money or heat money in, mm-hmm. and then they can really take care of a house, you know, mm-hmm. and rather than just doing part of a project. So I really appreciate that. Is it possible, you've got a lot of pages in here for discrete programs, and it's really, you know, very clearly shows what programs you have. Is it possible to get client numbers for each of these, you know, sort of maybe a spreadsheet that just shows mm-hmm. how many people are in each of these programs?
Sure. Under the, is it in the program impact statements, under that piece of it? Is that what? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is it there?
And do we provide those in the more expanded version?
The more expanded version, which will come out later this week.
Okay.
It'd be great if there was one table that said, these are the programs, this is how many people.
Yep, I could.
That's
get that.
Great. Thanks a million.
Any other questions for Dooley?
Well, not for Lisa, but for Kevin. COFA takes up a lot of pages in Section 3. most of those pages are less than half a page. And looking toward the future, it would be really, it seems reasonably to put two on a page. That's all.
Well,
you don't have to say anything. I just wanted to get it out while I noticed it.
Another dialogue could be doing, you know, there's a bunch of functional units per department. It might be easier just to do for a department all on one list of categories.
Maybe.
Just a thought.
Good suggestion. Any other questions for Lisa? Thank you very much, Lisa.
Thank you.
IT services, Greg is here. And
oh, Jim, I'm sorry. Lisa, the 20,000 that you said, the additional request, that's not in our books, is that right?
That's exactly what I was just saying to Lisa. Yeah. We will need to do another OTR. That's not in the book. Okay. After the fact. So you'll need to take an if you choose to do it, you'll need to take an action on it. We can rough out an OTR that you can use just as a reminder to.
Have you made a recommendation on?
I've looked at it. Yeah, I'm comfortable with it. There's ample rollover available to her. I think this is a good use of kind of transition money.
Okay. Thank you.
That's for the RAP program. There's also I think there's some current year problems too with the PERS program. We're going to need an allocation in 2011 to do some work on PERS. That will be coming to committees as probably a draw from contingency to handle that. But that again, that's a 2011 issue. This 20,000 plus issue is a 2012 issue.
Okay. Thank you, Lisa. We're having trouble with the tech stuff?
Yes. It's not recognized, Matt, on your tech stuff. Yeah.
I did that on purpose.
If not,
Kevin?
Yeah?
Do we have to get some new laptops here? I mean, are these things, is that a bad machine?
My budget, I haven't assigned it. Well, Marcia needs one before I need one.
Well, maybe we should get two.
I'm going to.
Have a handout, right?
These were funded by the Greek bonds.
Hold on. It just works.
No, we're having a bake sale for computers.
Well, it's coming in as G. Sorry, Greg.
Do you need a hand?
Need IT?
I need more people in my office.
Craig, why don't you go out and help me?
You want a computer?
Give him a hand. Lay all your technology on you.
I'll enter my Mac.
A yellow pad and a pencil still works.
Yeah, but it's really hard to see when it's all the way back there.
Hey, Jim.
Yes, Brian.
This little thing, this is on cue for which OTR? I don't see it.
Greg, did you
laptop computer?
Oh, no. They're going to make one up while we're here.
Oh,
it's not.
Greg, when you introduce yourself, just say someone else's name. Don't say your own name.
All right. Well, great start to any presentation, specifically the technology department. So, my name is Greg Potter. I'm the director of the Information Technology Services Department. Here to discuss the proposed 2012 budget for my department. The recommended budget as submitted is, let me talk through first a couple changes. The first thing is if you look at the revenue line item, you're going to see a reduction in revenue of $20,500. That reduction is based on a change, an arrangement that's historically been in place between...
No, we don't. We didn't have a sheet.
We don't have the handout.
I'll get them for you for next week.
Relax.
Okay. A change that is happening or has already happened between the assessment department and the information technology services group within the GIS division. Historically, we have managed and maintained the tax mapping program for the past decade with assistance from assessment, but also provided a lot of additional services to do a majority of the day-to-day work for the municipalities. That is being transferred back to the assessment department, and therefore we've removed the revenue associated with that. That transition is expected to be completed by the end of this year. We only are now currently maintaining to those municipalities on a day-to-day basis. The assessment department has taken back the rest of the municipalities in the county, but we will still be required to maintain the systems and software for that particular program. In addition, which we'll talk about here shortly, there are some a number of one-time initiatives that I'll talk to you about today that are leading up to the percent increase for the 2012 budget year, as well as the reinstatement or the request to fund two existing positions, and I believe the recommendation from the county administrator is to fund those at 35 hours within the tax cap level. That amounts to an increase or percent change of the 14.7%. The staffing in ITS was at 10 employees in 2010. We had to eliminate a position in 2011 or this year, and the proposal is to, I put in the proposal to add that position back. I'll explain that, the rationale for that here during the presentation. The recommendation from the county administrator is to fund that, but only at half the amount or for half of the year. Okay, these are the OTRs that were submitted. I ask you to kind of ignore the priorities for a second because they've changed after I've submitted the budget, and I'll explain that after this slide. The first two OTRs are really to request funding for an existing position, which is the GIS tech position, which has been filled for the past 8 years. And that is up to 35 hours to at the first cap level. The second one is to restore or include funding for a microcomputer specialist, again, an existing position and a critical one at that. And the next four, five, six, and seven are actually four, five, and seven are one-time funding requests, and I'll talk a little bit about each one of those particular projects. The first one is $12,000 requested to complete an IT risk management and security policy project. This is an important effort that we need to pay attention to as an organization. IT over the past years has exponentially increased in our reliability on digital information and access to digital information. We've done a lot of great work in process with departments, but that really has led to information being stored in a digital format as an alternative to paper. With that comes some responsibility for understanding how and who has access to that information and what the policies and procedures are to establish those accounts. This project is intended to help us come to terms and understand where we are, what data is available, who has access to it, and how we should better control and manage the information about county government on a day-to-day basis. In addition, the state comptroller's office is also pursuing a project that is indeed providing or doing security, IT security audits across the state at the county level, and this would certainly help me in preparation for that eventual project that's going to hit Tompkins County at some point here in the near future. The compliance project that is also happening is another important point to consider in this request because there are a lot of security access requirements that are coming out of that those discussions with the compliance project as well. The next project, one-time funding, is for $30,000, and that is to complete a fiber optics project between the airport facility and the public safety building. It's been completely designed. We've actually had been able to complete sections of the project for the conduit and the design work with the use of some of the funding from the airport since it's on their property, so we've been able to make some headway. And this is really the last link of any county building that is not on fiber optics. We currently have a point-to-point wireless connection. And recently, in the past year, with the rollout of the Spillman CAD project and the records management public safety project, all of that data is now stored off, not within their building, but in the emergency response building. So this connection is quite critical for us to maintain. We do tend to have some problems with it, weather-related, since there are antennas that are sitting on top of masts between the two buildings. So it's a bit finicky sometimes, and climbing up there in ice storms is not exactly a fun task for our facilities department. So we really do need to complete the fiber optics project. It's been on the agenda for the past 2 years, and I hope to get it finished sometime soon. In addition, that fiber optics project will be a requirement if we're able to move forward with the next rollout of technology for phone systems at this location. The phone system in that building is now going on 12 years old, and we need to pay attention to replacement for it at some point in the near future.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Let me jump to the next one, the last one, the county website redesign. This is a project that was initiated by county administration and public information officer. We've had our county website, the core of our county website, up and running since 2003 that we host locally. It's done its task very well, but it's not meeting the needs of Marsha in particular from an information perspective. And we're looking at a project that would replace that front-end interface with a true content management system that would be much easier for the county to maintain and manage and easier for the end users to submit information to make changes themselves instead of relying on IT. The position that we had dropped last year was indeed a position that managed much of the web work that we did in the county, so we have not been able to respond to web requests over the past year, only on a limited basis. The last item there is really just a maintenance contract, and that's for our UPS, or our critical piece of equipment that sits in our downtown data center. It is now out of warranty, and we need to put it under a maintenance contract in order for the provider of that UPS to come in and check the battery strengths and any other problems that may occur in the future. If we do not have a UPS and we lose power, the entire network will indeed come down until the generator kicks in. Okay. Onward. Just some quick overview of the points here. The first one is really a critical one, is that the priorities of our OTRs really, I think, in ITS, need to reevaluate them, and we can have that discussion at some point, either tonight or with Joe in the future. But recently, we've been making some improvements and changes with some departments. The first one is the public health department, and we've done a collaborative approach to the health department in the past with their IT staff person. As of Monday morning, I've taken over complete supervision of that individual, and she will be working directly for me and ITS with more of a shared responsibility to pick up some of the slack that we've had problems with in the past. So that's one change. The other change I've already talked about is the change with the tax mapping, maintenance from GIS to assessment, but more importantly, the reason that we have to reevaluate priorities in my department is after submitting the budget, I was notified that our financial systems administrator will very likely retire in 2012 and is eligible to do that in January of 2012. This is a very critical position for Tompkins County. This person has the knowledge and the history to support all financial systems across the county, and I need to really think about succession planning for that position to get somebody in and staff as quickly as possible to learn as much as they can to support that when she does decide to retire in 2012. So having said that, the positions that were approved or recommended for funding by a county administrator. The first one is the microcomputer specialist up to 35 hours per week. If that funding is not provided and we don't change priorities, then we would still have a problem with work orders being delayed and on the existing backlog and responses. And we also, just to let you know, I had no other choice but to cut that position from 40 to 35 hours this year already in order to meet my projected target for 2011. So we're already operating under this scenario. Hopefully with some of the assistance from the Public Health Department's position, we can balance that out, but we're already in a backlog and delayed response, much more worse than we ever had been in the past. The GIS technician's position, about 50% of the activities of that position are related to tax mapping now. That will be reduced even further in the very near future, but there is much work to be done within this group. Examples are an upcoming environmental health septic systems project, which is going through the Smart Office Initiative starting in a few weeks. We've done the preliminary planning and worked with the Highway Department for infrastructure inventory for road conditions, culverts, and signs, and that's kind of ready to go. And this is another example where we've had conversations about IT providing more support for them to complete this task. But without the position, we would not be able to do it. The redistricting effort, which is moving along, hopefully it'll be finished sooner than the start of 2012, but we'll see. But that may impact us next year. And in addition, if we're able to maintain the funding, I can also use this individual's assistance for some larger records management and web support activities if those projects, as they continue to move forward. If it's not funded, or I need to shift the revenue or the resources for this position to the financial systems administrator as an example, then we will shift other GIS responsibilities to other county departments as they come up. We will not be able to take on any other GIS work. The funding of the OTR 109, which was not included in the base property tax cap budget, is indeed the position that I was speaking of, the financial systems administrator. So if that is not included, I'll have probably no other choice but to reduce the OTRs or to use the money for the OTRs for 107 and 108 for those two positions to cover this position as a greater priority for the county. And here's really just the final slide above and beyond the property tax cap. The first two items are to restore from 35 to 40 hours for the GIS tech and the microcomputer specialist. And the second one is the full restoration of the program analyst, which was removed, eliminated from my budget in 2011. County administrator's recommendation is to fund half of that amount if the agreement is to go above the property tax level.
Frank, you had your hand up, and the slide that was on the screen was OTR supported by the tax cap, and that's when you had your hand up.
Greg, can you go back to the
sure.
two slides, the one just before this? No, go ahead. The OTR 50, the one time for the fiber optic. I want to ask the same question about that one, and then scroll ahead. This one, GIS technician's position. There seems to be mention, certainly in this one, about records management. The other one is records retention because of the airport and the other office. Is there any archives money left that you can apply for?
Not for positions unless they're specifically related to scanning or data entry.
But what about the first one? Can't we apply for equipment under that first one that might relieve some of the stress on the finances so you can fund, you can shift some of your money to a position?
It's possible. However, in the past, the county clerk's office has always claimed the first priority for applying for the funds through New York State Archives. and that money is traditionally used to fund their backfill conversion work and to clean up the records in the old library to move out of that space. We can only submit one grant per government agency to New York State Archives.
But it can be a companion grant, can't it?
It could, but typically the way those grants are written, it's to use for outsourcing of the backfill.
The reason I'm asking is that pot is shrinking, and there's more. Oh yeah, I mean it used to be 22, 26 million bucks. It's down below 10 million now.
And the requirements are getting much stricter. And I'm actually sitting on the board for that.
The review board. You're still on the review board? Thank you.
Peter?
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. Let's see. The first one, this fiber optic connection between the public safety and the airport. Why are we doing that?
The network on the hill near the airport, we have got fiber optics connections that run between all of our buildings. Currently we have fiber optics that run between the airport terminal, the tower, the crash, fire, and rescue building, emergency response, and 55 Brown Road. The last leg in order to make a complete loop of fiber optics connections to that location is this project, which is already designed.
Okay, so it doesn't matter that it's the airport.
It's really the system connection in the Uptown campus.
That was one question.
Yes.
A second is, could you tell me exactly what a microcomputer is? I'm not sure I know what that means.
A microcomputer specialist is a traditional term used within the civil service system for somebody who handles the day-to-day corrections or fixes of personal computers or devices on the network. Could be printers, scanners, computers, or any other devices. So, and management of accounts and any of the work orders that come in on a day-to-day regular basis.
And the third was a question that I wanted to ask that I've asked now I think a couple of times already today. When you reduce from 40 hours to 35 for whatever one of these positions are, what does that actually mean? Does that mean that people just work harder or that they work overtime without getting paid for what? Or the tasks? You change the tasks that they do?
Well, in our case, since we have now a two-month kind of experience with the reduction of this particular position from 40 to 35 hours, the first thing is that this individual is now working 4 days a week instead of 5 days a week. So we've balanced it out over a course of 4 days instead of five. And that any work orders that come through that he cannot handle, that I determine to be a priority, I have to distribute to other individuals in the department to manage.
So
we have not had this individual work extra hours above 35 in this case, and nor do I.
But then the total number of hours that people work actually decreases.
For this individual, yes.
And somehow the work gets done.
It does, but it just impacts other individuals in the department that could be spending time doing other types of activities or other priorities. So it gets shifted, and somebody else gets bumped.
Okay, now my last question had to do with the county website. I'm a heavy user of the county website. I go on the county website, for a telephone directory or getting a file or something like that. And I think it's just fine. I have no problem with it. So I wonder why it needs to be. I hate it, actually, when some of the websites I'm familiar with suddenly get redesigned and I can't read them or I can't figure out where to go on them. I wonder, in what way is our website deficient?
I'll pass it on to Marcia or Joe to elaborate on that. This is really a project that was proposed by county administration, but we felt it would be best to present it and put it into the IT budget.
Yeah, that sounds like an answer. Joe, you want to give a short answer?
I'd rather have Marcia give a short answer.
Okay, Marcia, give the short
okay.
answer.
Okay, there are a couple of problems with the website. First off, and I think most of you were at the department head legislative retreat back in March when we had an extensive, in-depth discussion on how the county communicates its message and what could be done to improve. And among several of the groups there, really came up with, the website really needs to be improved. It needs to be a better representation of the county in terms of the county's image, in terms of functionality, in terms of, we have a lot of e-government services now, and that website was developed and put in place back almost a decade ago before any of those really existed. The Public Information Advisory Board for years has really urged for a better, more responsive, you know, and also more attractive website that better represents the county. There are also a number of technical problems with it that I experience all the time, and I won't go into all the technicalities here because they wouldn't really mean anything to any one of you. But the website was, I think, very good back when it was developed almost 10 years ago. But now, in terms of what people by and large expect, in terms of services and capabilities and so forth, when they go to a website, those aren't there. And also, you really have to do a lot of kind of internal fixes and workarounds and everything else when you're posting things to make things work and appear functional.
Thank you, Marcia. Brian is next, and then Martha, and then Carol.
Thanks. Not to be outdone, I'd like to ask five questions if I can.
But I can only think. I get the floor next.
But I can only think of one. Your text slide, as it relates to the reinstatement of, I believe it was the microcomputer specialist. No, it'd be the other one then. I'm sorry.
GIS technician.
Yes, GIS. One of your reasonings for having that has to do with redistricting. Didn't we provide funding for that already, either we did or through TCOG,
there was,
for your services? I'm trying to remember what that was.
There's funding put in as contingency in the event that we needed it because of either overtime or equipment or software. That has not been the case so far.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
You have four more.
No. I'm going to yield the rest of my time,
okay,
to Mike.
Well, thank you so much. Martha, Carol, Mike.
So $12,000 for the website, that's an overhaul of the whole website?
That would be the front-end piece that Marcia uses. So it's kind of the upper levels of the county's home pages, any departments that are using the template structure, and then if a department, the rest of the management of the county's website is split up a number of different ways. Some departments manage it in a different piece of software. Those departments then would have the choice to migrate to the new content management system or stay where they are. But the other point here, too, is that if we do go in this direction, it's likely that the county's homepage would be hosted or managed by an external company as well, which is the more cost-effective way to do it these days.
Okay. I would put in a plug that the legislature's page get redesigned along, move with whatever the new.
Yeah, that becomes a project question that would be addressed in the future, whether departments are required to do that or they're encouraged.
So the $12,000 would take care of.
I went out and received proposals from two companies that we've worked with in the past, and this is what they came back with. It's kind of a rough number, but that's what something to start with.
Thank you.
Yeah, on the web redesign, will there be any capability for advisory boards or at least one designee from an advisory board to post materials without having to go through staff or to this paid consulting?
It's another project question, and if it becomes a criteria as part of the project, then we can include it. This is a type of activity that we'd probably put out through an RFP process or some type of, competitive proposal.
Okay. Feels like we have to sort of ask staff to spend time when on advisory boards when they want to post materials for for their members.
That's correct, because we don't open up access to the web servers for remote changes. Yes.
Okay, and then I've got Brian's questions that he got excused from. Whiteboards? Any chance there's anywhere in this budget we'll have any whiteboards that where you can actually save there, the material you
There are two of them in place currently, a third one on the way. The one's in my office. One is located in the solid waste conference room, and the third one is in the Rice conference room in 55 Brownwood Public Health.
Boy, the old jail could really use one, and we could use, I mean, I have lots of meetings in the assessment department these days.
But the answer to your question is no.
Copy it down at the end of the meeting.
There is no
okay.
money in the budget to support
okay.
anything
and
like that.
And then, again, I think it would save staff time. And then on the, I got two more, on the GIS, are there other departments that have GIS people, or is this GIS, one GIS person?
Yes, there are. The planning department has a full-time GIS position, and the highway department has an individual who does GIS work as well. I don't know what percentage of his time.
Okay, and there's no way to overlap more on any of those?
But I think that's a good story that we should tell. There have been conversations between ITS planning and highways about how to consolidate that GIS function, primarily in the highway area. We think GIS can be a powerful tool to inventory our infrastructure, so we can do capital planning, we can do any number of things if we can get it up and operating quickly. They have had a person who, when time permits, is doing a GIS system for them. I think we're going to be able to have that work delegated to people who do this full-time, ITS or planning. They can accelerate progress on that and free up that resource within Highway to do the kind of engineering work that their job description calls for them to do. So we are trying to concentrate and really have the kind of the pros do the work, get it done, and then move on to the next project.
Well, I would encourage you, as you redesign the website, to investigate whether there's anything that can be done in terms of sending, so incorporating the GIS information or make it available. There's such great stuff you can do
is.
Today. That, but okay. And then last one. I noticed that in your contracts you have something for HR and payroll. Mm-hmm. I think you may be the only one required to do that. Is there something unique to
It's the software
ITS
that is used to manage all the human resources and payroll systems that we deployed in Tompkins County.
For everybody else.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mike.
Well, since Carol used up all of Brian's questions and passed on to me, I'll have to take a couple from Carol. But two things, and maybe it's more toward Joe. Joe, you told us there was going to be money in contingency for a potential move of the legislature to the old courthouse. What about the wiring? What about the IT stuff? Is that calculated in what you are planning to put in there?
There's $250,000. It's actually in a capital project account. There's $250,000. I don't know that it will cover. Greg can probably speak to the electronic side of this.
Mike, we've been directly involved in that project since the start. So anytime there's any type of renovation or a new building that's being discussed, the facilities department, Rel in particular, does a very good job in coordinating with us. So we've been working with Time Warner to get the proposal for the cabling to get into the building and have already spec'd out all the equipment that would be necessary for the move and have responded back with some preliminary estimates of those costs. That ARREL then included in that budget.
Okay, so the answer, I guess, is yes.
Yes, we received, I hesitate to say a complete yes, because we received a response back on the all of the equipment and the audio and visual equipment and that type of work in that space, and it came back a lot more expensive than we had initially expected. So how ARREL managed to include or not included that difference is unknown at this point.
Okay. The second thing is also, Joe, at Government Operations Committee, when Greg was coming to us, he talked a lot about what he's doing with his staff, and you talked a lot about what it means for your budgeting to be able to have reductions in people and other things, places, and how important that department is. Do you want to touch on that a little for us?
And I'm really glad you gave me for everybody the opportunity because, you know, I typically don't pitch. What I present to you in a document is my pitch in terms of what I think are the critical priorities of the county. This is one area where I'd like to pitch. This department is crucial, as all of you know, to the rest of the operation. And I really believe that for the rest of us to get smaller, this department may have to get a bit larger. I really believe that. And when you look at the way we've approached this budget, we have taken a position that was a 35-hour position. We boosted it to 40. We've tried to get him to full roster with current staff and then more. There's an extra half position in this budget to get ITS back to where it was in 2010. We've done that after experience. We found that we need that additional position. Had we had additional money within the 5.4%, the other half of that position would have been funded. But we believe the only way to do it is to bring the position in at either halftime or start it up in July and be very direct with the legislature to let you know this is a phase in of a position that, say, by 2013, we'd like to be at full time. So I would encourage you, in the case of this budget, to look at it in a very beneficial light. This is an extraordinarily small office for an organization of our size. You can look at their FTEs. They generate a tremendous amount of outputs. And I think the last point I would make is the obvious point. When these things go down for an hour, we are down for an hour. And if it's my computer, I'm down for an hour. If it's a departmental computer network, the entire department is down for an hour. The attentiveness that we need for these systems and these computers is obvious. And again, I appreciate you letting me make a bit of a pitch for this one department.
I thought it was important from
Thank
what we
you.
Heard in GEO.
Dooley.
I'm sorry, Greg.
Can I just add one point
absolutely.
to Joe's statement? The other thing, too, you have to realize is that as wonderful as the smart office initiatives have been in the county, and I've participated in many of them, probably the majority of them, they've all led to IT projects. And we are getting swamped with them. And they're all great, and it's hard to say no and turn them down because they're all valuable, they make sense, but they impact us in the long term. Every single one of them has a long-term commitment to support something coming out of those initiatives. I don't know if you have anything to add or agree to that.
No, well, I think the end product, that sounds, I mean, there is that element, but in the end, if you look at personnel, for example, having an automated application system ultimately is going to help their productivity tremendously. It's going to relieve a lot of burden and allow them to work with the smaller workforce that they have right now. So it pays off.
Dooley.
Is this missing half position what we see in OTR 109? The difference between what was requested and what's recommended?
They've requested a full-time position. We put money behind half of that.
Yeah. And with respect to that, Greg, are you more likely to put it off till the middle of the year to hire somebody?
No, this is something I need to start working on very quickly. If the individual in my department chooses to retire in January, I can't wait. I have to pay attention to this immediately. If the funding isn't provided for this position, then, you know, I'm going to have to make some decisions about the other two positions and figure out how to balance that out because this one is a much more of a priority for the county as a whole.
So the person who's retiring, is that Pat?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. And with whom do you have the maintenance contract that you referred to many slides ago?
For the UPS,
yes.
We currently do not have a maintenance contract, and the warranty just expired on that unit. So we did not have them, and I'm looking at it this year to try and fund the remaining part of the year with existing monies and then pick up the full-time year-long maintenance for that $3,500 for 2012.
So we would not have a name to put in the contracts list this year?
No. Okay. I'm looking at three alternatives presently.
All right.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Greg. Brian?
Move to adjourn.
Yes. All in favor?
Aye. Opposed, any. Thank you so much. Kevin and Joe and all the people that showed up here to do this.
Does that mean we don't get a break?
You have a break at home. You may pick up your bagel on the way out the door.